Welcome to the Disrupting Obesity Podcast. I'm Charlotte Skanes, and I'll be sharing ways to regain control over your body and lose an extreme amount of weight naturally. Being fat is about so much more than just the food. It's about your relationship with food. That means that dealing with your weight is about more than just the food too. You have to change that relationship. You have to start disrupting obesity. If I was starting again tomorrow, I'd do a lot of things the same. And I've got the benefit of having done it twice and the whole almost dying thing. So I'm pretty confident in the amount of perspective that I'm bringing to the table. But let's say I woke up this morning and weighed 338 pounds again. What would I do? I'm not going to be happy about it. I can tell you that. I'm actually going to be pretty savagely pissed off. But that's all right. I can feel whatever I want, whatever comes up. But I'm still going to have to deal with it. So what would I do? Well, I'm still me in this scenario. And because we're pretending it's tomorrow, I'll have the whole already lost it and then almost dying thing going on, right? So I'll feel a little better than I did the first time I lost my weight, but I'm still going to be royally pissed off about this. But I'm also going to be pretty confident. And I know that because I know how I felt the second time that I lost more than 100 pounds and I wasn't happy about it. But I was still very sure I was going to get the weight off. So if I was starting again tomorrow, I would for sure have a plan because plans make me feel good. They make me feel comfortable. I just don't like fumbling my way through things. It's not how I work. I did that once when I fumble fucked my way through losing 201 pounds. I didn't care for it. So I want a plan. I would make sure that I had a copy of Disruptor, my weight loss workbook. And that isn't just a shameless plug. I basically had a copy of Disruptor when I lost my weight the second time, right? I did it all by hand and it wasn't pretty in teal like it is now, but I need a way to see my progress. And I like writing things down and having incentives and goals and lists. I'm a very type A Aries. So I get my notebook ready and I try not to psych myself out too much by doing a bunch of stuff like throwing out food that I decided was bad or going out and buying a whole bunch of new food or telling myself that I wasn't going to eat XYZ anymore because I've done that. And what ends up happening is that I say I'm not going to eat junk anymore. So I guess I better eat it all up before I get started. Then before you know it, I'm 3 days into a food bender, making sure I get my real favorite meal from McDonald's one last time, just saying goodbye. And then it's been a week or so, and I also said goodbye to Subway and Burger King and the burrito place up the street. And I might have even forgotten that I was going to try to get the weight off. So there's no last supper or final late night binge for me because I know I'm going to keep eating whatever I want. And I can eat as late into the day as I want to. I'm a lifelong night eater, and I would start to panic anytime I considered limiting myself to only eating during the day. Like, I can't tell myself no food after 7, especially not when I like to start eating around 6. I can and do quite regularly eat right up until I go to bed. You can send your emails through my website there, Gladys, because I definitely did just say that I eat right up until bedtime several nights a week. So if I was starting again tomorrow, today wouldn't be a huge deal. And I'd try really hard to keep tomorrow as normal as I possibly could too. Once tomorrow rolls around, I'd start my day by weighing myself so I'd know where I'm starting. And then I'm not going to touch the scale for a full week. I don't do the on the scale, off the scale game because it is a game and it will fuck with your head. Once a week, same bad time, same bad channel, but just once. Anything less frequent and you're not going to have the level of awareness that you need. Anything more frequent than that and you're just going to make yourself crazy with the fluctuations on the scale. Let's not do that. Now, my hunger doesn't wake up until I start eating. I'm pretty lucky that way. But I'm surprised how many people have told me that it happens to them too. So like if I have breakfast, I'll start thinking about lunch by like 10 o'clock. By noon, I'm ready to chew my own arm off. I want a snack all afternoon. I'll have the big dinner and then I'll want to eat again by 8 at like the latest. And it doesn't matter what time I have breakfast, 7:45, 10:26. It makes no difference. As soon as I break my fast, I'm hungry. If hungry was a person living in my brain, like that kids movie, mine would just keep sleeping until I started eating. So it's going to be a pretty normal day for me. I'm going to track what I'm eating because I need to see it. And since I also need to know that I'm in a calorie deficit this week, so the number on the scale is different next week, I'm going to be tracking everything, all of the things. I also like tracking ahead. So if I know what I'm having for dinner, I'll just enter it, right? That way I know how many calories I have left to play with for the rest of the day. Now, dinner is typically my first meal of the day, but I may already know what I want to have before bed, right? Maybe I already know that I want to have a pudding cup stretch with some Cool Whip. Fine. Why not enter it as soon as I've made that decision? I can change my mind. I can have more of it. I can have less of it. I can have none of it at all. But if I track it as soon as I make the decision, it's like the calories are already spent. So when I'm trying to decide what I want to snack on or what I'm going to have for my next meal, I've got at least an idea of what I'm dealing with, right? Like I'm budgeting those calories and I'm budgeting out my day. If I was starting again tomorrow, I'd probably keep it to myself. I wouldn't try and recruit people to do it with me. Extreme weight loss, not a team sport. You don't want to hinge your success on someone else's. The potential for letdown and hurt is just, it's way too high. I know the buddy system or accountability partners or whatever you want to call it, it sounds great. It looks good on paper, but it is hard enough to motivate yourself. Take it from me that it can be impossible to motivate somebody else. Don't hitch your ride to somebody else's little red wagon and keep them away from yours. And I wouldn't broadcast what I was doing either, because I am intensely private and I'm realizing how crazy that sounds given what I'm doing right now, but I really can be. And I didn't talk about it when I was losing my weight. I mean, obviously people could see what was going on and that often led to conversations, but I didn't open with that. And it wasn't something that I generally brought up. Like I'd answer your questions, but I wasn't leading with that. Having people comment on your weight loss is a double-edged sword for me. I don't mind the compliments. I know some people do. And I can find it awkward, so I get that. It was also weird for me to have people suddenly commenting on the way I looked in a positive way. And that kind of, it made me kind of feel bad because it makes you wonder what they were thinking before, right? And I already spent enough time worrying about things like that. And it could feel like pressure, right? Like all of a sudden my weight had become a part of the conversation and it just wasn't before. I was also losing my weight in a way that made people uncomfortable. And it made some people angry. Seriously. When I was taking off my weight, exercise was king. And the trend was to eat a whole bunch of little meals, right? Starting with a very nutritious breakfast in the morning and basically eating nothing after 7 o'clock at night. So yeah, people didn't always like what I was doing. One of the most common questions I got was, how are you doing it? People would want to know how much I'd lost so far, and then they'd want to know how I did it. And then they didn't like the answer because I told them I was eating whatever I wanted, but only at night. And they'd look at me like I had snakes in my hair, this just mix of shock and horror. And yeah, some people got pissed, like for real. I got very used to people telling me I was doing it wrong very quickly, like super fast. Some people would just insist that it wouldn't work. It's not working. And I wouldn't say anything, but I'm like, I've lost 145 pounds. I'm pretty sure at least part of what I'm doing must be working. Maybe I have things a little more sorted out than you think. But people have opinions. And especially when I'm starting out, I don't want to deal with the noise. I don't want to hear it. I know what I need to do. I need to get my ass into a calorie deficit and keep it there. I need to drink a truckload of water and keep doing my physio. That's what I need to do. And I don't need Gladys and her buddies' opinions. I just don't. So 338-pound me isn't telling anybody what I'm up to. I want to have some serious weight behind me and my feet under me mentally before I have to start dealing with other people's thoughts on my body and my weight and their opinions on the way that I'm handling things. I'm not interested in what happened to Sheila's neighbor's cousin and the chick that Gladys worked with 10 years ago. I just don't care. When I was losing my weight, all of a sudden, everybody knew somebody who'd lost weight too, or was trying to lose weight or something. It can get hard to deal with. Those can get to be some pretty murky waters. But if I was starting again tomorrow, I think I'd be madder than hell with myself for being in that position again. And I know that because I already get moderately pissed at myself when I put on like 5 pounds. I mean, it's not a huge deal. It's just annoying, right? if I had to lose 200 pounds again, I would be really frustrated with myself for the position that I was in. I know now that I would need to explore those feelings just a little bit more. I'd have to figure out what I was up against emotionally so that it didn't slow me down as the weight started coming off. I don't want to end up eating to cope with feelings that I'm having about the process of losing weight again, right? I'm already eating to deal with feelings. So let's just deal with these feelings and get that out of the way. A couple of weeks ago, I talked about Regain. It's episode 44, I think. We'll link it in the notes. And I looked back at some of the feelings that can come up when you gain back a bunch of the weight that you lost, or all of it, or you have to lose it all again. I regained about 115 pounds of my weight, and it feels horrible. So I would 3A weigh it. I'd make myself super aware of what I was feeling about having to start this whole thing over again. I would acknowledge what I was feeling instead of just shoving the feelings back down and trying to cover them up with food. Accountability is going to look like all those small incremental changes I'm about to start making. It's the way that I'll start with spread, sprinkle, pour. I'll deal with all of my low hanging fruit just early on, because it's the easiest way to do it. And it's going to make the biggest splash, right? It's going to make a big enough difference in the beginning that I'm going to start seeing a difference on this scale too. My lowest hanging fruit was a pour. It was pop. And if you need a refresher on spread, sprinkle, pour, check out episode 17. It'll be in the notes too. Basically, if you do one of those things with a food item, you want to know how much you're using. Things you spread, sprinkle, or pour tend to be really calorie dense. And a lot of them, like mayonnaise at 100 calories a tablespoon, have a lower calorie option, like low-fat mayo, which is 40 calories a tablespoon. And no, it's not exactly the same, but it is a decent alternative to obesity. And if you don't like that option, you can always use incrementally less real mayo, which is what I did, because I'm a very big fan. I can easily put 4 tablespoons of it onto a sandwich. So if I cut back by even half a tablespoon, I'm saving 50 calories right there. A few more little changes like that over the course of the day, and I am well on my way to hitting my deficit, right? So I'm going to start with my sandwich. I'm going to start with the salad dressing and the extra cheese I like to add to my frozen pizzas. But I started to tell you about my thing with pop, which is my ultimate pourable. I drank like 4 liters of it a day, which is a fair bit of pop. It was regular pop. It's also my entire day's calories now, which is just under 1700 calories. And it was 462 grams of sugar. I know I don't do sugar tracking for extreme weight loss, but I'm just pointing that out because it's completely insane. And I had no idea at the time that I was taking that much in. I mean, I knew it was a lot, but that's more than a pound of sugar a day. So that's, yeah, I had a TDEE of 3,500 at my heaviest. So theoretically I could find a way to keep my pop habit going, like I could, but I really like to eat. And it came down to a choice. I love pop, but I loved food more, but I really love pop. So I switched to diet when I was losing weight, and it was hard. I really don't like the taste of aspartame, especially the aftertaste of aspartame. And there weren't as many choices back then. Like there was no Coke Zero, right? You could have regular or you could have diet. That was it. But I wanted to eat my calories, not drink them. And I wasn't willing to cut pop out of my life. So it was not a sustainable choice for me. Just mentally, I knew I couldn't do it. So I made the switch, which was probably enough on its own to put me in a deficit each day, at least at the very beginning. So I would start with things like that. I'd track what I was eating and get an idea of how many calories I was taking in, because I want to have a baseline. So I'd eat like normal and track just insanely accurately for a couple of weeks, and then I'd work out a daily average. My TDEE was 3,500, but I was eating more than that because I was consistently gaining weight. So let's say I was averaging 4,200 calories a day. On day one, I am not going to start trying to eat 500 calories below my TDEE and just drop to 3000 a day. That is too big of a jump. I'm not going to make it. I'm going to be like Wile E. Coyote and just launch myself into the air, but I'm going to end up sliding down the cliff face on the other side. I'm not going to make it. It's just going to be a big splat. They wonder why people give up so quick. I don't. Pick me, because I've got the answer. We keep launching ourselves off the cliff and chasing these crazy calorie drops, and then we can't sustain it. Splat. So if I'm starting tomorrow, And I'm used to taking in an average of 4,200 calories, and I drop down to 3,000 and try to keep that up, I'm for sure going to be sliding down the side of that cliff before a few weeks are out. I've completely set myself up to fail. So here's what I'm going to do instead. I'm going to drop to 4,000. I'm used to 4,200, right? So I'm going to drop to 4,000, screw the TDEE, and forget about going 500 calories lower. Small incremental changes. That's where it's at. I have 200 pounds to lose. So I'd much rather keep going than only make it to week 5 before I can't take it anymore. How about no? 4,000 for a week. Maybe 2 if I'm really struggling. Then I'm going to drop down to 3,800 for a week. Maybe 2. Remember, it's about being able to keep going. It's not about doing it as fast as I can, because I already know that doesn't work. I can't sustain it long enough to get the weight off. And even if I do, I can't sustain keeping it off, because all I did was focus on getting it off. So guess what I'm going to drop to the following week? Yeah, 3,600. And I'm going to rinse repeat on that until I get down to 3,000. And here's the thing. I know that it's going to take a minute. But if it's going well and I'm not struggling, there's nothing saying that I can't drop by 300 one week and see what happens, how I feel. But these first few weeks are pretty critical. I'm setting the tone. And I like to start the way I intend to continue. And the whole point here is that I intend to continue. So my priority is ensuring sustainability, not getting there as fast as possibly can. And here's the thing. You want to give yourself space to figure out the whole calorie tracking thing. If you're frustrated and pissed off and upset because you feel like you're starving, you don't have the mental space to figure out the tracking, to build that habit, because you're going to need it. And it's going to get harder in the sense that the number of calories that you have right now is the most you're ever going to have. And it gets easier in the sense that you learn how to use them more wisely, and which foods keep you feeling fuller longer, and which time of day works best for you, and you change your relationship with food. All of that is totally true. And it's also totally true that the number of calories you have now is the most you'll ever have. And I know that can hit like a wet fish to the face. I think I cried when that realization hit me. So you might as well start getting your head around it now. And you've got a choice here. You can be sad about it. You can grieve it. I did. And I think that's a normal part of the process, but you can't live in it. You have to choose. And you can choose to see this as a good thing. Yes, it is the most calories you're ever going to have, but it's also the most calories you're ever going to have. So you might as well enjoy them. It's really helpful to get yourself in a glass half full type mindset. It's not about how many calories you're cutting. It's about how many you have. And it might seem like a silly semantic difference, but it's not. The more positively you can frame the things you're thinking about, the easier this is all going to be. The more positively you can see things, the more positive things you're going to have to see. This is why I keep track of my little wins. We get so hung up on those big wins, the big goals, right? That we don't appreciate all the little wins it took to get there. And when you're losing a lot of weight, you're going to hit a point where those big wins and goals and the on the scale victories are going to get farther and farther apart. It isn't that you're not going to still want them. It's just going to be that much harder to keep yourself going mentally. So I would keep track of my little wins, all those little steps that I took that got me to the 5 pound, 20 pound, 150 pound mark. Downloading an app, setting it up, learning to enter recipes, staying off the scale except for on my day, talking myself out of going back for a few more cookies, putting a handful of chips into the bowl and taking it to watch TV instead of just bringing the whole damn bag. Little things, little wins, all of which don't just add up to the big things. You can't have the big wins without them. That makes little wins essential to the process. So I would celebrate them just as a way to motivate myself, because I can manufacture little wins all day, but I only get to step on the scale once a week. So I keep track of them. I like visual reminders of my success a lot. And that's the reason I would for sure do pictures and measurements. The scale can't be the only marker of your progress. It won't work. It's not enough. I mean, maybe if you've only got a few pounds to lose, but this is very different. I would take all kinds of pictures, and you have to understand how pathological my hatred of having my picture taken when I was fat. Like, there's a reason you keep seeing the same before pictures. There just aren't a lot of them. I didn't let myself be photographed for years, and I regret it for a lot of reasons that have nothing to do with needing before pictures. I look back now and just this whole chunk of my relationship with Sean and my friends and my family, it's not there. And I have serious memory issues. So I need things like photographs to help me remember. So if I was starting again tomorrow, I would take the damn pictures. I would hate every minute of it, but I would do it because I've learned that sometimes you just don't see the changes yourself. You have to put two pictures of yourself side by side and go, holy shit. I would measure too. My neck, my arms, my ankles, all of it, everything. My favorite trick for this one is to use yarn. And then you keep the lengths. You can put them all together because then you can watch them get smaller and smaller in real time. I think that one's a lot of fun. Please believe me that it's going to be a lot more effective to look at those shrinking strings than it will be to see the difference in your slowly shrinking thighs. I'd keep a log too, exactly like the ones in my workbook. And I would retake those measurements every month. All right, what else would I do? It's tough because there's not a lot of prep involved when my plan is to just keep eating the food that I already eat, right? I mean, I might go pick myself up a pretty little journal to keep my thoughts in, mostly because I'll just use any excuse I can find to pick myself up a pretty little notebook. And I might use that book to track my water intake because I would watch that for sure. And I would up it gradually to at least 90 ounces a day, because I really struggle with water. I always have. I'd rather drink just about anything else. I almost have to make it a punitive thing. Like, I can't have any pop until I drink all of the water I need each day. I've had to set a recurring alarm in my phone so that every time it goes off, I take a drink. Basically, I just tether myself to my damn water bottle. And I don't let myself drink anything until I get it all in. That's probably the most effective for me. But the alarm, the phone alarm, is pretty helpful too. It's also a daily goal that I set for myself in my weekly planner, even now, so that I've got a box to check every day if I do it. I struggle with water. Then I've got this whole kidney thing going on now, so I have to drink 3 liters of it a day. And now I have to start incorporating orange juice also for my kidneys because my citrate levels are too low. And I won't add lemon juice to my water because drinking water is hard enough without adding lemon to it. And I know a lot of people like it, but not this little black duck. I can't stand it. I'm not particularly fond of orange juice, not in small part because at 120 calories for 250 milliliters, the damn stuff, and it's got 23 or so grams of sugar, you might as well have pop because it's 27 grams of sugar and 110 calories for the same amount. Yes, Gladys. Put the keyboard down. I know all about how much better the orange juice is for me than the pop is. Vitamin C is wonderful. And remember how, like, less than a minute ago, I said I had to drink the stuff for my kidneys. I don't need an email. I already got the memo. But in this scenario, I'm losing weight. So if I get to pick and choose, I'm picking the cola over the orange juice all day. All day when it's for extreme weight loss, Gladys. So put that in your email. If I was starting again tomorrow, I'd be taking things just a day at a time and trying not to get too far ahead of myself. Losing a lot of weight is overwhelming. And yeah, it's great. It's great to think about how awesome you're going to feel when you get to your goal weight. I love the visualization stuff. But it's also great to deal with the overwhelm by just dealing with what's directly in front of you. Just those little steps. We all know that the way you eat an elephant is a bite at a time. So just keep your eye on your fork and not on the massive plate in front of you. Weight's the same. We think about it in terms of the nice round goal numbers, but you can't get, you know, to pound number 50 without losing pound 37 and 12. They all count. And I want to help as much as I can. So I've created a couple of things for you. The first is my free guide to getting started for the last time. We'll pop a link in the notes. And the second one is my weight loss workbook, Disruptor. And you can find it on Amazon by searching for Disruptor. And my name, Charlotte Skanes. Next week, I'm coming back with a big announcement about the third way that I want to help you. So if you haven't already, make sure you subscribe so that you don't miss it. And I really do appreciate it. If you've already subscribed, thank you so much. That's the number one way. Probably, yeah, it's probably the number one way that you can help me. And I really do appreciate it. Keep trying, keep tracking. Don't be intimidated and don't give up. You've totally got this.
Thank you for listening to Disrupting Obesity with Charlotte Skanes. If you know it's time to take back control, lose the weight and keep it off, reach out to me privately with a direct message on Instagram that says ready so you can start disrupting obesity.